an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. 2 weeks away from training camp. Less than a month away from preseason football. 2 months away from the start of the regular season. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. It's Vinny and Haney on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Joining us now to talk about the National Football League from NFL.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show friend of the program, Eric Edholm. Eric, what's happening?
Yeah, 2 weeks before I have to work on a Saturday, man. Like, my summer's already evaporated. I don't know what's going on here, but happy to be here. Yeah.
It's like the old Jim Gaffigan line. Can't believe I got to work on my birthday. That's that sort of thing. But we look at the AFC East. It's Buffalo. They're the Kings, rightfully so. One of the favorites to win to the Super Bowl, rightfully so. Then you're looking at the teams chasing them, and Miami seems to always pop up, at least recent vintage. Where do you stand right now, Eric, with Miami? I know Mike McDaniel's cool with the capri sweatpants and the looking like he just did 17 edibles before each game and fun at the press conference. But, you know, they did kind of tank last year. They did make the playoffs but didn't last long. Where are they right now in Miami with the whatever window they thought they had either being still slightly ajar or really closed?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, right? I mean, I don't, you know, you lose Teron Armstead this offseason. The Ramsey trade just happened. You know, two players going out the door, one coming in, and leaves secondary and offensive line is two big questions. I would argue those are, you know, two of your top three or four most important position groups, you know, counting quarterback and maybe your pass rush unit. So, you know, that's, and you're still kind of waiting for some of those pass rushers to take that kind of next level jump too. So, you know, that, those are some big concerns coming into the season. The one thing that I think McDaniel can fall back on is that when he's had Tua Tagovailoa healthy and playing, they've been good. I mean, for the most part, that's been true. He did kind of hold things down as best he could while Tua was out, but, you know, they were losing close games. So there's a tiny bit of optimism things could be better, but I would argue that he's facing more pressure now that, like, some of that stuff you talked about personality-wise was considered cute and clever and different. It's almost worked against them when they've lost. So I kind of wonder how this season's going to go. It almost feels like a team like New England could pass them with Vrabel back, some excitement, a lot of spending this offseason, Drake May. You know, they are certainly competing for second, but I wouldn't be shocked if this season ends up pretty tough. They've got some division games early, and they better be ready to go.
Hey, Eric, I'm telling you what, if I'm the owner, I'm not crazy about it. What Asante Samuel came out and said that my coach is afraid of the players and my GM has no backbone.
Speak your mind, Asante. You're right. I assume you mean the Dolphins, right? Not
yes.
The Patriots?
Or, oh, the okay, Dolphins? Right. Yeah, because they were interested in his son.
Okay. Oh, right. Of course. Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, and Asante has certainly turned his ire against New England in the past, too. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting point. I mean, the dynamics of the McDaniel versus, you know, with the locker room, it's going to be tested this season because, you know, they're at that crossroads of sorts. You know, things haven't gone well. Last year, obviously, missed the playoffs, 2-1 and duns before that. Reputation of a team that can play great in the heat but can't win in December, can't win in January. You know, can't win on the road. Those are things that he's got to obviously swim upstream against and prove he can do. And, you know, maybe the command of the locker room had to do with some of the trades that happened, some of the deletion to the roster. So I don't know. I'll be fascinated to see how he attempts to reel things back in.
Hey, Eric, what do you think of Jacksonville? Is Trevor Lawrence going to be the guy that everybody thought he was going to be?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question right now. I don't think you call him a bust so far, but I don't think you call him anything close to what we expected as a borderline generational talent. You know, I mean, there really have been a handful of guys that you would say are you know, at a different kind of level for that number one pick, and, you know, Andrew Luck and such, and him, and you know, maybe Caleb even. That was the reputation when he came out 2 years ago. I don't know, but, you know, it's been disappointing. You know, he was tough early in his career, played through injuries, but I think it has kind of hurt him, and just the consistency, the turnovers, the fumbles especially. I mean, interceptions too, but, you know, keeping possession of the football is a big thing, and last year was obviously not great. Liam Cohen comes in with obviously a lot of excitement. Travis Hunter's there now. It's a division where I think they can win some games. You know, you look at the Vegas totals for them, they're predicted to win 7, 8, maybe 9 games, you know, so it's kind of fascinating. Their schedule is set up very nicely, but yeah, I mean, I'll be shocked if they're a 10-win team, but I wouldn't be stunned at all if they're darn close to 500 and a much more competitive team this year.
Eric, who has a better year, Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy?
That's a great question. I mean, boy, it's two of the best offensive minds in football who are running the show in Minnesota and Chicago. Ben Johnson obviously has more to prove, first-time head coach, but what we've seen him help build in Detroit was obviously very impressive. The early word at Bears mini camps and OTAs has been, look, he's a stickler for details. He's exactly, you know, exacting in his demands. You know, I don't want a 2-yard split. I want a 1.5-yard split. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff that he will drill into their heads. And I think Caleb got into this bad mode of trying to play hero ball and make up for the fact that his O-line wasn't protecting the way it should last year. But we don't really know what to expect of JJ. I mean, he's coming from a college offense where he really wasn't the guy. He was the guy at times, certain drives, you know, the fourth quarter against Alabama, whatever. And he kept his composure. He played well. He showed flashes of being a really good player. But after missing all of last year, other than, you know, a few weeks of training camp, basically, we don't have a lot to go on. And they have a really good roster. And I think Kevin O'Connell's a terrific offensive mind, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's training wheels at first and they really rely on the other 52 guys to kind of help buttress the thing. If they could start out 0-2 in the division to start the year too, at Chicago Monday night, week 1, you know, they have a tough game week 2. That's going to be a tough one for them, but you know, the steadier option might be JJ, but the high-flying, explosive potential with Caleb is I would probably lean that direction right now. He's got a year starting under his belt, too, which helps.
Hey, Eric, teams that were in the playoffs last year, who do you see, you know, 1 or 2 or 3, however many you think, won't be in the playoffs this next year?
Well, it's always 4, right? I mean, isn't it every year since, like, 1971 or whatever that stat is? I mean, it's crazy. I think you, even with the Steelers doing what they've done, there's no guarantee it'll all work, you know, and TJ Watt wants a new deal. Obviously they got to get that done too. They were outscored last season, so they kind of limped their way to a 10-7 record. I would treat them with a little bit of suspicion until we see Rodgers and DK and all these new parts kind of working together. Tough division as well. The Chargers give me a little pause too, because I think they're counting on some of their young pass rushers to step up, something, but I don't know that they fully replaced a guy like Puna Ford. Their run defense was really good last year, and it kind of forced opponents into throwing the ball against them. And I'm not sure they're better up front or in the secondary. They might have a little stronger offensive crew. The line might be more settled, maybe better receivers, but I could see them falling off. So they're, you know, the Raiders look better, I would say, on paper. They're a team that I might be a little suspicious of. Green Bay, if Chicago's better, you know, they've got their work cut out for them. We don't know about Jordan Love at this point. So, you know, there are a few teams that, you know, Minnesota might even be in that category as well. If coming off a 14-win season, you don't usually say that, but it's not guaranteed they're going to win that many games again.
Eric at home, NFL.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Eric, last thing for you. If I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, and I'm not, full disclosure, I'm a Ravens fan, born and raised in Baltimore, but how optimistic that what you saw last year in the second half for Bryce Young is what you're going to see moving forward from the quarterback?
Yeah, when he got benched week 3 or 4 or whatever it was, and you know, you know what they were hoping for. Like, okay, hopefully he can rebound. But, like, how often does that really happen where a guy responds like that? And Bryce, to his credit, really did it. I mean, I wouldn't say he played at a all-pro level down the stretch, but the fun was back. He did that, you know, that no-look touchdown pass that he threw at the end of the year. And, you know, just a little bit more of that playmaking pizzazz he had in college. It seemed to be back, and they almost beat the Eagles in Philly. You know, they had some much better games. That defense was terrible. It scored gave out the most points in NFL history. So he still was going against the wind a little bit, but now you add Tet McMillan, you fortify the run game a little bit. Offensive line seemed just kind of steady by the end of last year. I could see him taking a little bit of a step up. I don't know if it's going to be a giant one, but, you know, if they're not giving up 30 points a game, I could, especially with the news that Tristan Wirfs out now, the Bucs are a good football team, but, you know, that might open the door just a little bit in that division, whereas it looked like there was a gap between the Bucs and everybody else.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com. Eric, always appreciate the time. Enjoy your next couple of Saturdays off before you get back to work.
I know. Back to work on back to football Saturday in a couple weeks. I'll be looking forward to it, though.
All right, Eric. Thanks, appreciate Eric. It. There's Eric Edholm, everyone. We'll come back. It's American League East Report. Orioles lost. We've talked about that a lot here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. But other things happened in the division last night. We'll look at today's schedule. We'll look at the standings and all that good stuff. And ESPN, Bill Barnwell, rating the top offenses based on wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. I think you'll be surprised at where he has the Ravens.